This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
From the capital of Texas and the Austin FC headquarters, you're listening to the Austin Anthem Podcast. My name is Landon Cottom. I am joined, as usual, by Jeremiah Bentley.
Hi, Jeremiah Bentley. Words and pictures for Austin Anthem.
And we are also joined by a special guest today, Tom Webb, who is the Vice President of Public Relations and Broadcast for Austin FC.
Guys, hello. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So I think we're just going to treat you like a co-host today and just kind of go through Austin FC news. And yeah, you can just kind of join the conversation. So the first thing we're going to hit is Los 27. Are we pronouncing this in Spanish or in English? I haven't heard it said out loud yet.
We pronounce it in English, but you can pronounce it in Spanish. Your Spanish sounds extremely good, so I'll let you pronounce it like that. But yeah, Los 27, the first 27 people who will be able to pick their seats in the stadium. We closed that on October 18th. That was the last date that people placing deposits could be one of Los 27. That's not to say that deposits have been closed. We're still taking deposits. But anybody who placed their deposit from day one up to the end of October 18th is in with an opportunity over the coming days to be picked as one of those first 27 people who will have the chance to pick where they want to be in the stadium.
Great. Yeah. Hopefully, I guess I'm included in this drawing, but hopefully I could be one of those 27 to pick the first seats, but that'll be exciting. The next thing we wanted to hit was the site permit has now been secured. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so building started as soon as we finished that groundbreaking ceremony back at the start of September. A second site permit was then secured, which allows us to start doing more of the construction work that's really starting to show. Anybody who's watched on that construction cam, which you can see on our website, will be able to see just how much is going in there. One of the things we were really excited about was the first pad that came out of that site, which is underneath which the supporter section will be. So we're seeing these kind of big days coming every single day now. Some of the folks here who are involved in that construction project come in whooping and hollering about how excited they are about things happening over there, most of which I don't understand. But the site permit itself, yeah, that was another big step forward in us being able to get that project underway.
Yeah, we talked about the pad below the supporter section in the last episode, so we're all very excited about that. But I hadn't looked at the construction cam in a few days, and then looked at it one day, and it's like, oh, it looks like a soccer field now. Like it's rectangular now, and that's pretty exciting to see.
There were some bright sparks making jokes about bowls on Twitter.
Yeah, and one of the things, we do appreciate y'all letting us record this live from the Austin FC office. So driving over, we're very close to the stadium, and driving over here, like, it's just amazing, just the visual footprint. How much has it just changed just from the street between the developments going on there and then what's going on at the tower building next door? It's like you can tell that there's a lot going on behind that one random Discount Tire on the corner that I want to turn into a bar. I feel like this is what we should buy it. We should turn in the supporters bar. It's got a great location, so I'm just putting in a plug for that.
You know what? There's that gas station over there right by Discount Tires and next to that apartment block. I mean, the folks that are in that gas station, they must know what's coming, right? I mean, they must be thinking we are going to be the busiest gas station in the entire state of Texas. But there's a whole bunch of businesses around there which have been really great partners to the whole project. I think one of the things we're most blessed about is how much support there has been locally for the soccer stadium build. So, yeah, it's amazing how quickly it's all coming up. Every day something else is happening. That's really positive.
Yeah, we've increased our recording schedule due to these increasing news bits that are coming out. So we used to do it once a month, and we just had to cram so much in to each show. They're like, okay, we have to start doing this more often because this isn't working anymore.
Yeah,
which is amazing for there not even being a soccer team yet. So
I mean, I started this job back at the end of June, and honestly, before I started, I thought it'll be a relatively simple runway into the job, and I got in, and about 2 minutes later, Andy Lochnane sat me down and he said, right, here's the 37 things that are going to happen this week, and now here's the 42 things that are going to happen next week, and every single day something comes along. I think, you know, one of of the things that I think we're all kind of conscious of is the need sometimes just to stand back and look and see how far we come, literally every single day, how much stuff gets done that is all part of building this new team here. And it is, you know, I want to say thank you to you guys for the opportunity to come and talk to you, because this is the sort of opportunity that enables me on a personal level to look back on this and get some perspective on just how far we've come already.
One of those steps of progress that has been made is that it was announced that Austin FC will have an eMLS, a player or a team. How does that work? Will it just be one person representing the club?
It will be, ultimately. So anybody who's a FIFA 20 player will have spotted that the Austin FC badge is now in the game, which was, again, really cool. You know, I grew up gaming. I like playing. I actually play Xbox games. Our search is on PlayStation. But anybody who wants to end up being our eMLS representative can take part in an online tournament on October 27th, 28th. And then we're going to do a live final with 8 finalists down at Valhalla Esports Lounge down on 6th. And we're going to end up with somebody who's going to represent Austin FC in eMLS. The MLS announced last week that we and LAFC and Nashville had joined eMLS. And it's just another one of those kind of building blocks in us becoming a fully-fledged part of MLS. You know, esports is a massive, massive growth area.
I think a lot of people they hear that there's going to be someone playing video games representing Austin FC. And for people not in the know, that may sound like a silly thing, but this is a really big deal.
Yeah, it is a massive deal. I mean, if you haven't heard of Twitch, if you don't know what Twitch is, go and have a look at Twitch. Look at the numbers of people that are watching streamed games, not just FIFA 20, not just Fortnite, which probably a lot of people have already heard of, but some really obscure games out there. You know, the esports community is one that is increasingly being taken really seriously. You know, there are even conversations at Olympic level around how that could be represented in the future. It is an important part of our growth and development, and the MLS, the league, would not be putting kind of so much stock and time and energy behind their own league tournament unless it was really worth it. It is a way of engaging younger audiences, but it's not just that kind of youth audience. It is a way of being able to spread the conversation about the sport that we all love, about soccer, into other parts of people's lives, that recreational part where, you know, maybe they're just sitting at home, sitting on the couch playing a game, maybe they're playing it on their phones, and it is going to grow increasingly important. It's only growing.
So Austin FC has been running some community camps that are presented by St. David's. So I believe there are 2 more camps left. Is that right?
Yeah, we have camps 9 and 10 left. I'm glad you brought that up. It's a really important part of our commitment to the city of Austin. As per the terms of the lease agreement that we have to do an awful lot of outreach and give it a lot of opportunities for young people and for the community to engage with the sport of soccer. We actually technically don't have to do any of this for a couple of years. We don't really have to get this stuff up and running until 2021, but we want to do it now. It's important to us that we're out there, that we're engaging with people, and we're giving young people, particularly maybe some of the underprivileged kids out there, the opportunity to come and try the game and play the game. So we've been running these camps all over the city in different areas of the city. We're up to, as you say, we've got 2 left. We've got camps 9 and 10 still to come. Hundreds of kids have already taken part. A lot of those kids have left with soccer balls so they can go back and play the game themselves. And it's been a really uplifting, really positive experience for everybody who's taken part. Tyson Wall, our Academy GM, has been centrally involved in all of that. And I think the others, from a selfish perspective, it means he gets to keep an eye on potential future talent, which is also a great thing. And in a city like this, which loves soccer so much, any opportunity we can create for young people to take part is a good thing.
Yeah, Tyson Wall played in our pickup game a couple weeks ago, and there was no identifying young and up-and-coming talent in that one. Sort of an old and decrepit, like, lack of talent, and I think I pulled a muscle from the first minute on the field, but he's a great guy. I'm glad that you can do that.
Tyson's not only a great guy, I mean, he's a really good person to have around the office. He's a very calm, he's just a cool dude, right? And thankfully he won't, nobody will tell him I said that. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this.
Right. I'm sure he doesn't. I'm sure he won't at all. We won't tag him this to make sure he does.
But I can tell you, so when we're speaking at the moment, our U14 team is in Dallas at the moment playing a US soccer tournament. The boys have won twice already this weekend. I think they won 1-0 against, I think, Tampa, and 2-0 against Minnesota. They had a 4-0 win last weekend. Things are really starting to go in the right direction for him and that U14 team. You know, they're still very much developing. It's not really just about wins. It's about experience for those guys at this age. But yeah, what he and Junro Narita and Samuel Haydakani are putting together there in the academy team is something really special. And if anybody has the opportunity, you know, you can go and see them. They play at St. Stephen's. They play their home matches over there. If you do want to go, maybe let somebody at Austin FC know. Anybody who ever has any questions about anything like this, I run an email account for the club, media@austinfc.com. If you've ever got any questions that you're not quite sure where to go, by all means, drop me a line. I want to be able to help with that kind of thing as well. So, yeah, really, really proud of what those guys are doing.
So something else I wanted to talk about is some details about season ticket prices were made public here recently. So it looks like 100% of general and supporter section tickets will be at an average price of $48 or less. So could you just tell us a few more details about that?
Yeah, so the season membership conversion process is starting now. And what I mean by that is those people who've placed a deposit are starting to get contacted by our sales team. And that is a process that's going to take place over many months. It's going to take us a long time to get through the thousands of people who've placed deposits. We're starting with premium deposit holders who are getting contacted. I want to give a really important message here, which is if you get an email from Austin FC, it'll be from us. So open it, respond to it. If you get a phone call from an Austin number, or if you get a phone call from somebody and you're not quite sure who it's from, listen to the voicemail or take the call. I know that we all get spam calls. If we're calling you, it's not a spam call. It's a call to say we want to start you going through the process where you can go from deposit holder to member. So, yeah, Andy Loughnane did an interview quite recently with Chris Bills at The Statesman, and he talked about that $48 number as an average price. We are going to have a whole range of different prices for people who take different membership offerings and options. And there's an awful lot of options out there in the stadium. So we're going to be going through everybody who's placed a deposit from premium through to supporter section, through to general seating. I think one of the areas that is probably worth a short discussion about is the difference between kind of general admission and general seating. So people who've placed a deposit, maybe you don't want to be in the supporter section, maybe you don't want to be standing, but you want to be in one of those kind of another general seating area. That's what we're referring to. So if we call you up and talk about general seating, we're talking about one of the seats and that you can pick and that you can make sure it's the seat that you want in various areas of the stadium. As well as then there's obviously going to be those match day tickets, which are, I guess, kind of classically what you might call general admission. But yeah, general seating is just going to be another one of those kind of seating options that we give in the same sort of vein and the same relative kind of bracket as supporter sections.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that, because I have seen some confusion online to some of the reporting on those numbers. And I've seen some people taking it to mean that general admission in the supporter section would be around $48 per ticket. And so, yeah, it's good to have some clarification that that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. And I think it's what I would urge you, so if you've got ever got any questions about this, call us, email us, drop us a line. We really want people to have those kind of two-way dialogue with us. We're here to help. And if anybody's ever confused about anything, the worst thing I could suggest you do is go on to Twitter and have a conversation with random people on Twitter about this stuff. Come and ask us. We'll do our best to clarify.
Right. I've seen that. You know, I've seen the, you know, my uncle's cousin's sister's best friend's roommate, like, saw this very specific map that talked about the pricing of every single seat. And like you told us earlier, like, that does not exist. Like, don't believe everything you read on the internet, right? That's a surprising thing to think.
Yeah, I mean, we are going to be starting some very direct communication with everybody who placed the deposit. And that communication is starting very soon. I think by the time this podcast goes out and live, and as people are listening to this, they'll likely start receiving some form of communication from us. As I say, there's a couple of messages. Bear with us. It's going to take us quite a long time to get through the thousands of people who place deposits, and answer your phone and respond to those emails. We want to make sure everybody who has the opportunity to get through this can do so. We want to make sure that those folks who've been such important and loyal supporters for us since day one have the opportunity to take that deposit into a season membership.
Well, thank you. That's good to get that information out there. So one of the things that is coming up soon next weekend is this NBC Premier League Morning Live. So it's nothing we're doing Austin Anthem officially, but all of us, basically almost everybody is a supporter of Premier League team too. So I think it's a great opportunity to get out. So can you talk a little bit about, what do you know about that? Are you going to go out there?
So
I mean, we've talked about which team, which, you know, minor team from Manchester you support, which makes me sad earlier that I didn't know about, but like, talk about what this morning means to you.
So I moved to Austin in 2014. And I remember saying to my wife, I wanted to go and watch a Manchester United game. I wanted to go and watch the only real Manchester, the only real team from the northwest of England, the only team worth supporting, the team with the greatest number of Premier League triumphs and, you know, the real history behind them. I wanted to go and watch that team.
I want to say things, but they're all true. I feel like you've done that before. I feel like you've been on this journey. Yes. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry, Tom.
So I wanted to go and watch them here in the city. And I remember going down to Fardo, down on 4th, when that was down there. And I expected to walk in there. I'd only been in the city for about 8 months, six, seven, 8 months. And I wanted to go and watch a game. And I went in there thinking, there's going to be like 20 people in here and it'll be kind of quiet. And, I'll wear my shirt and nobody's going to really know what that is. And I couldn't get in there. The place was packed. And there were people bouncing up and down. They're chanting just like they do back in England. And they've all been drinking beer since about 6 o'clock in the morning. It was a better atmosphere, rowdier than anything I've been to in England. And it was awesome. And I remember going home and saying to my wife, this city loves soccer. There's a real, I mean, I used the term football then. I've now learned to use the word soccer. But I knew then that there was something here. So when we heard the news that NBC were coming here, It's just another one of those building blocks in establishing and kind of people recognizing that Austin is a real powerhouse in the whole world of soccer in this country. Just because it's had UT here, and you know, UT football has obviously been such an important, incredibly important part of the history and heritage of sport in this city. It feels to me like soccer has been allowed to flourish almost kind of in the shadows. And then things like the Women's World Cup viewing figures came out and people are kind of saying, wow, that's amazing. How come these numbers are so great here? Those of us who are kind of really embedded in the sport here and in the industry here are saying, that's not surprising. You know, there is support for this sport northwest, south and east of this city, all over the place. People love this. I have three nephews who play in, you know, one of these kind of small leagues out in Far West. And I remember going to see them play, expecting to see a couple of hundred kids out there maximum with their families. There were thousands of people out there. And I said to my brother-in-law, this is amazing. You know, and he said, no, this is the tip of the iceberg. This is going on across the whole city. So when NBC come here and they bring Premier League Live here, again, I think it's just another one of those things that is a recognition of how important the sport is to the people of this city. It's one of the things NBC are obviously looking at this and saying, from a commercial perspective, it makes sense for us to be there. It's also because this is a great place to be, right? They want to come down here and they want to hang out here because this is a cool place to come and watch soccer. They know that they're going to have a very broad array of support. They know it's not just going to be a group of Liverpool fans or a group of Man United fans or maybe Chelsea or Arsenal. They know they're going to have Palace fans, they're going to have Wolves fans, they're going to have, you know, maybe those kind of slightly lesser lights of the Premier League supported here because there is so much love for the game here. So to me, it's just another kind of tick in the box. It's great that they're coming here. It's great that they're kind of saying to the national audience, Austin loves soccer. The fact that it's EPL is great because, you know, a lot of us have that kind of EPL love and the connection to teams over there. But again, it's just saying there is soccer here and it's here to stay.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Tom, and for letting us into the offices today.
It's my pleasure. You'll make sure you turn the lights out when you leave, right?
All right. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with an interview with City Council member Jimmy Flanagan. So, yeah, we'll be right back.
We're very happy to be joined on this episode of the podcast with Austin City Council member, District 6, my own home council member, Jimmy Flanagan. So, Jimmy, thanks for joining us.
I'm really glad to be here with you guys.
So, you know, Jimmy, one of the things I thought about is you've been on this whole journey of the everything that comes from like wanting to have a team all the way to where we are today in the journey of Austin FC. So I wanted to bring you on and talk a little bit about that and get your perspective, which is, I think, pretty unique until I went and sort of put together the whole timeline. I didn't realize how much of it you've been a part of. So let's start with August of 18, the day of the vote. So what was that like?
Well, and of course, the day of the vote was to me the midpoint. You know, there had been so much work and advocacy and debate that led up to that, a bunch of very weird council meetings and presentations from community members, and it was a wild ride. That day in particular, I think for all of us, was pretty special, seeing the council chambers full of MLS supporters, soccer supporters, wanting to see this come together. And at least for my part and many of my colleagues, having spent a lot of time working on the issue itself, trying to make sure that the final deal with the team owners was going to be a good one for the community. What was most amazing for me was watching the public rise up and organize and reach out to my office and to others in a way I had not seen before on any other issue facing the council. Thousands of people reaching out to council members, people I was hearing from in Northwest Austin in District 6 that had not reached out to me on any other issue before, but very clearly in support of MLS in Austin.
Yeah, that was really cool. And that was something that I think all of us that were involved in it, and I've been a little bit more in the political process than others, but that understanding of how the process works and like how to engage, I mean, I think everybody got a real strong lesson in civics. And I think one of the things, and I don't know if it was you or somebody else that told us that day, is for us, it seemed like a really long time and a really slow process. And we went to council. Like, I was there like 4 a.m. or 3:30 one night. But I think one of the things we heard is like overall that seemed like a pretty quick turnaround for, you know, from beginning to vote. So, I mean, what do you think about that? Like, what did that mean to you?
Well, it was not lost on me. And I think I said it that night that there were folks in the chamber who had never been in the council chambers before and hadn't really seen how the machinery of government moves and how it moves slowly often and how it moves in ways that are unpredictable. But to have folks know that you can have an impact, your voice does matter, and it matters most at the local level. It matters most at the city council level, where we are your neighbors. We don't go off to some other city to govern. We are right here in this community. When I go to HEB to buy my groceries, I see my constituents and they talk to me about the issues they face. As I say, in local government, there are no excuses and no escape. And that's what makes local elected officials the most accountable, but it also means we're the most accessible. And watching the MLS supporters and Austin Anthem really come together gives me hope for the future of Austin. The soccer stadium is only the first step in, I think, a long future of civic participation for the supporters group.
Yeah, you talked about people never having been in city council chambers before. That's definitely the case for me. But now that I was kind of drawn into it on this one topic, now that I've kind of learned a little bit how it works, I've been paying way more attention to local politics since then. And so, and you were mentioning people reaching out to you. I think the first time I kind of knew who you were, your name popped up on my radar, was on Twitter, and you started telling people like, okay, I want to hear from my constituents on this topic. Let's get at me. Like, let's hear what you think.
Yeah. Please at me.
Yeah.
Right? That's my version. I mean, amongst the council members, I tend to be one of the more active and participatory on social media and other platforms. I have a background in technology, so it's very natural for me to be there, but also to let folks know that there's an element of strategy around it. You want to reach council members where they are. You know, some council members who aren't on Twitter, it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend a lot of time trying to get to them on Twitter. But that level of engagement is so important. It's important. It was important for soccer. This would not have happened without the broad and vocal support of the supporters group, especially from folks who we don't normally see in the council chambers. And it really is kind of inspiring to think how else the supporters group could engage to make our community a better place. The stadium and the Austin FC team, I think it really is just the beginning.
Yeah, I think I like to think that we've continued to do that, but I would be interested in your thoughts on other activities. Like, if you continue to see people, you know, I mean, we've met a couple times. Like, what do you see? And if you could, you know, ask anything of the people that are in Austin Anthem or that listen to this podcast, like, what's your request of the group overall?
Well, you know, I hope more folks watching the council's actions on soccer
find our future actions as interesting. I'm hopeful to hear that maybe at least one person did. But you know, if you do pay attention, there is a little element of drama from time to time. There are elements of intrigue, but in a way that is substantive, in a way that really makes the community better. And I hope that the Anthem folks are doing the very basics at least, right? Voter registration, voter education, make sure folks know what's going to be on the ballot. We have an election happening right now as this podcast airs, related to that was kind of an outcome from the soccer vote, Proposition A, which actually ended up having a much wider impact than just soccer. But Proposition B, which is also one we should vote no on, the proposition from the county, there's state constitutional amendments. I mean, there's a lot going on. And especially in an off-cycle November where voter turnout is low, the supporters group could be the difference. You were the difference before. You were the difference in the item you wanted, and you can be the difference in these items too.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And we'll be voting. I think early voting will probably have opened by the time this airs up. So if you want to talk a little more about city A and B, if you're up for it, go ahead and do that.
I'm definitely willing to do that. I've published my own voter's guide, jimmyflanagan.com/2019-guide, as I have done in the prior elections. And I'm vocally in opposition to A and B. So you want to vote no on city propositions A and B. A is the one that was originally started about soccer, although the way it was written, it actually ends up impacting YMCAs and the Long Center and a bunch of the community assets we love, and the opportunity to build even more community assets. In District 6, we've been working on a YMCA facility and ball fields and other youth and recreation sports. Proposition A, if it passes, would cause a problem with that and maybe even make it impossible. So Proposition A is an easy no. Funny on Proposition A, even the group that opposed soccer came out saying, well, I guess we kind of screwed up on writing the proposition. So yeah, you probably should vote no on it. Also the Chronicle and the Statesman both coming out in opposition to Prop A. Prop B is the one related to the convention center, which has much bigger impacts than just the one building downtown. The way hotel tax is spent and allocated is largely governed by the state of Texas. And what we have in Proposition B would, in my opinion, violate state law. But even if it doesn't violate state law, it breaks the convention center. It breaks the tourism industry in this town. In my district in Farnworth, West Austin, we have one of the highest kind of percentages of people employed in the tourism industry, which makes sense because my district has a train to the convention center. That's where the red line goes. So it's an important industry, and Prop B would effectively break the convention center's business model. But it goes beyond that. The expansion of the convention center that the council unanimously approved earlier this year will allow us, because of rules in the state tax code, will allow us to increase spending to support live music. It'll allow us to increase spending to support historic preservation. In partnership with the hotel industry, it's going to help us generate millions of dollars to combat homelessness, all of which without increasing your property taxes. It's all based on taxes on hotel rooms. It's a slam dunk for the city. It's going to create a much better environment around the convention center. And that's why everybody's got to vote no on Prop B. And you go out to vote no on Prop B. Get your friends and your family to go vote no on Prop B, and your neighbors and your coworkers and everybody else.
Yeah, I think you hit on a really important point. These off-year elections are like so low turnout, and it takes, you know, a small group of people can really make a difference. So I think it's really important for us to go and do that too. So we talk a lot about how we're Austin's longest running soccer, beer, and politics podcast. And I feel like we've covered politics pretty well. We talked a little soccer. So let's talk beer. I think the next thing that I would bring up. So you were at the Austin Anthem brand launch at Jack and Ginger's last fall in a tuxedo.
Oh yeah, that was the
standing on a chair.
Our infamous tuxedo moment.
And you gave a speech. So talk about that a little bit with your experience of that. I don't know. I have no idea like what you were expecting or what you saw or any of it. But how was that?
So it's one of those moments that looked really intentional in the moment, like I was trying to be funny, when in reality I was like triple booked that day, and one of the things I was going to required me to be in a tux. And so I thought, well, you know, this will be funny. I'll just swing by on my way downtown to this gala event I had to be at, and ended up being this really funny moment, I think, and a great moment to be in that kind of closed. It was a really tight group. It's what I remember about it. Everyone was real kind of packed in, and
Yeah, I had a conversation with the mall cops and possible fire marshal about. And that's, I texted you. I'm like, I really need you to be here right now because I think they may throw us all out. And you made it. So I thank you for doing that.
That was fun. I do remember taking the opportunity since I was in a tux to, I can't remember exactly how I said it, but are you ready to rumble?
Yes. Yeah. You pulled the Michael Buffer. Yeah.
I did.
For sure. And nobody has video of that, which I feel very
are you
sad.
Kidding?
No, I was at the end of
shame.
It. Yeah. So after that, our next thing after that, so the franchise announcement, Rustic Tap. There was a ton of the council there.
Yeah.
We had a widely criticized on Deadspin 7-4 chant that I believe some of you loved, and I would like you to defend that on our behalf.
I don't know about Deadspin's stupid criticism. What is Deadspin's criticism?
Well, apparently, so you know Deadspin, they're terrible, right? It's a sports website. So I guess the fact that a supporters group for a soccer team would have a chant written about a city council vote, you know, they were not very good about that. But we all felt like we specifically, there's an audience that loved that, and you're a part of it. And I believe I saw a moment from it when you sort of leaned over to Kathy Tovo back when you were friends and tapped her on the shoulder. And they had her listen in on what that was. So, like, talk about that day overall.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Certainly, getting to see the chants for the first time was a lot of fun. And I've not been to any MLS games myself, and so being able to kind of start to see the development of culture and the supporters team, but seeing the 7-4 chant, I thought was pretty great. It was. You know, right now the council takes a lot of 7-4 votes, and it's the same 7 and the same 4 on a lot of those votes. This one was a different collection of 7 and 4. So kind of the inside political baseball of it is kind of the jokes that we kind of will have with each other about, you know, when we're on the same side of an issue, when we're not on the same side of an issue. But, you know, as a council, and not to speak for all of my colleagues, but, you know, those of us who were ready to support it, there were definitely elements of like being in a battle that it just felt like there was a side that had kind of calcified in opposition, and then the side that I ended up being on, which supported it, and to see that honored in a way with the chant was really gratifying, because sometimes when you're on the city council, it's a pretty thankless job.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people who are kind of talking trash about it on the internet, they didn't understand how involved this group of people was in that process. And so I was playing a drum there and helping lead some of the chants, and Greg Kassar's head was about 2 feet from the drum, so his hearing is probably decreased in his left ear significantly after that day. But whenever we started doing that chant, I saw Greg smile, and I looked over and saw you. I guess it was Tovo. You were explaining to them like what the chant was and why we were doing it.
I remember they had the handouts, and I had it, and I was kind of walking her like, can you believe it? Isn't this so funny?
Yeah. So we were seeing all the people talking trash about it on the internet, but to see you guys appreciate it and enjoy it, I was like, okay, that's all I need. this is who this was for, and they loved it, so I'm happy.
It was amazing, and I hope there are a lot of sports teams in a lot of leagues that just get created, and it just kind of happens. But when you have a franchise that is forged in this way, that it built relationships, it solidified a community and a supporters group, you know, we shouldn't lose that. We should remember that political engagement and civic participation is what helped us get this team, and to have that be a core value of the franchise and the supporters group, I think, is really special.
Yeah, and we talk about that a lot. There's this one picture that somebody has from, I think it's like October of 2017, and it was like the first announcement that like maybe there was going to be a thing, and we were all together at Haymaker. And we're all in the picture, but none of us actually knew each other, right? Because it was like a group of random people that came together in a room. They're all excited about this opportunity, and some of us know politics, and some of us don't. And, I mean, some of us love soccer, and some of us had no idea what was going on. And to have that lead up to where we are now, I think was pretty incredible. And one more thing that has happened that's now in the past that I wanted to ask you about was the groundbreaking itself. So it was good to have a thing that was like a real tangible like testament to what we're, and actually something that's very close by to where we are right now. But like, there's nothing like breaking ground for announcing the thing as a real thing. So can you talk about that day for a moment?
That was really exciting. It was great to see my new colleagues join us for the groundbreaking, ones who weren't on the council during the vote. And if I remember the vote correctly, 2 of the 4 were replaced by my new colleagues.
Right, which we use that in our stuff. Like if you want to oppose soccer, like just maybe, you know, we can create open seats. But yeah.
I'll refrain from commenting on the next election. Although I will be on the ballot in the next election. That's the only thing I won't refrain from saying. So I will be on the ballot in the next election. Did I say I'm on the ballot in the next election? just saying. Yeah, that was really cool. It was great to have our new colleagues there to participate in the groundbreaking and to see the new ownership show up, which also is kind of like a classic Austin moment. At some point, I'm going to run into Matthew McConaughey at the HEB. I just don't know which one. I'll just keep going to them until I do.
I think we all want to do that. He's so cool, and he's such a good. We did the Experience Center tour. Now he's the voice of the tour too. Now, and I think he's the voice of the video. And that guy like is Austin.
Have you heard him as the voice of the Cap Metro bus?
No, I have not heard that. And I know you're a big Cap Metro rider. So is that your bus?
So I ride the express bus from Northwest Austin to downtown as much as I can make my schedule work, one or two times a week if I can do it. And they started a promo on the bus that is Matthew McConaughey's voice with Matthew McConaughey's jokes, but it does not say I'm Matthew McConaughey. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And it ended up being kind of part of the joke that it's just he doesn't say who he is, but everyone kind of knows what's going on. And I have desperately tried to capture it on my phone, but by the time I hear it, I can't get my phone out fast enough to capture it. It's hilarious, but very much like the new voice of Austin in some ways.
That's good to have. Okay, so 2021, spring 2021, we're very excited. We're going to be loud and proud, and we've got Landon's part of the official band for the Austin Anthem, and you remember the Longhorn Alumni Band. So what are you doing? What are you doing when we launch the stadium? Do you have a horn you could bring?
I'm so excited that there's a band. Okay, guys, like I love that there's a band. I was in the marching band all through middle school, high school, college. I do alumni band at UT every single year. In fact, partly why my voice is a little scratchy today is that I was at the alumni band game yesterday. And it was my 19th year in a row to do alumni band. I've marched a halftime every year since I graduated. So I'm so happy to hear that there is a Anthem band. And if you need a backup tuba player, if you provide the tuba, I'm happy to do it. I just don't own my own one.
We had a fundraiser not too long ago for the band. And so we just bought a new drum, but in the coming years, we'll be buying more and more instruments. So maybe we'll have a sousaphone with your name on it.
There we go.
And so I know you talked about you haven't been an MLS game. So do you have like soccer fandom experience? Are we gonna have 2 years to convert you, or what's your current status on that?
I think of it more as being a soccer virgin than a soccer opponent. I have family and friends that are big soccer fan, MLS team fans in other communities. I have family in Frisco, even not just in Dallas, but in Frisco where that team is headquartered, and everyone is raves about the MLS experience and how much fun it is. And I'm excited to build my own fan experience with Austin FC.
Well, we're excited to have that. And it was the first professional sports franchise in Austin, which we've talked about a lot. So we're just excited about that experience and having you a part of it. I guess just to close, so like what else, what are the thoughts do you have? You know, what do you want to tell people who are listening? I believe what I've heard is vote no on A and B in 2020 and vote Flanagan.
Let's get it right, Jeremiah.
Yeah, yeah. Vote yes on Flanagan in 2020, no on A and B in 2019.
Right now.
Yeah.
You can vote no on A and B right now. Go find your closest polling place. Both A and B endorsed against by the Chronicle and the Statesman. It's very clear your choice. Yes, so go vote no on A and B. That's an important one. You know, I think the mayor has often said it, and I agree that soccer, and especially in our community, is going to be a great way to bring everybody together. When you look around politics, certainly higher up the food chain, but even sometimes here in our own community, things can get pretty divisive and they can get passionate. I like to think about it that Austinites really care. And so when we fight with love. Even if it doesn't sound like love, it really is love, because we're all trying to do the right thing and we're all trying to do the same thing. And my hope is that Austin FC can be a home for that. It's a home for community and a home for diverse voices to get together. I'm excited to see an LGBT supporters group come together. I have friends in LA who do that with their soccer teams. I think it's going to be pretty spectacular. I'm so looking forward to it.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time and for you joining us today. And maybe we'll have you back, and maybe we'll buy a tuba for you sometime between now and 2021.
Yeah, and you can watch me every Friday on Facebook Live. I have my own live show that I do talking about local politics and local issues called The Clawback Live. You can follow me on Facebook at Flanagan for Austin.
We want to thank City Council Member Jimmy Flanagan again for joining us. I love that man.
Yeah, he's like, and hopefully we got a few of his laughs on the show today, because it's like, it's just super infectious. I remember the day that we had the council vote, and it just, when we invited him down and he showed up at Haymaker and he like just hugged everybody and just had the best time, and he's just been such a supporter of what we're doing, and I hope we can continue to like deliver on our commitment to that, because like, it's a really exciting time to be in Austin, and he's a part of that, and it's soccer, and it's a bigger thing too, and so like, it's just, he's so good, and so I appreciate him showing up and being part of the show.
All right, so let's before we wrap up, let's run down a few of the Austin Anthem updates and events. So last night was the Upper 90 Dare to Create event. So that was a fundraiser for the organization Upper 90, which we've talked about on this show lots of times. I really love what they do. It's just such a cool organization. So if you can support them anyway, do so. But last night we had the Morga there, and there's a silent auction and bands playing, and it was a really great event.
Yeah, it was they're a great organization to kind of combine soccer with making a difference in the lives of people that need help. And so it was good to have some of the kids there, some of the coaches there, have a group there. And it was good, because like, it was an event. It was the first time they've done anything like this. So it was like a fundraiser, but it wasn't, you know, it was what, Austin Chic, which is the most random, like, I don't know what that means.
But it's
like
people wearing t-shirts and soccer jerseys. And so it felt natural though. It was good.
Show up as yourself, right? Which was really cool. Native Hostel is a really good place for that. If either of us sound, you know, sort of slow or inelegant in our thinking, it's because they had an open bar with all the Tito's they could have last night. So we all managed to survive that, some of us more than others. But, and it was really, so we had the debut of the new drums. Why don't you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. So we had our fundraiser for the Murga of maybe a month ago or so, and we're able to purchase a new drum with it. So we have a beautiful new bombo that we debuted, I think. Yeah, we debuted it last night at the event, so we're really excited to be growing the number of instruments we have, and we'll just continue to do that over the next couple of years.
Yeah, so thank all of you that played or participated or like gave money to the fundraiser. It was also good. We had, I'm assuming those are official brand colors for purple. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And and the grackle was also beautiful on it, because our first, like the two bombos are just like, it's, brings my heart joy to see them side by side with the Austin FC green and the anthem and the tree and the anthem, like purple and the grackle together. So it's so good.
Yeah. So if you, like Jeremiah said, if you participated in our fundraiser, just know that whenever you see that beautiful purple drum, that you helped us get that. So thank you so much. All right. So let's talk a little bit about one of our, this isn't the first family event we've done, but it's one of the biggest family events that we've done today. Tell us a little bit about the pumpkin event that went on.
Yeah, so several of us got together this afternoon, being Sunday, for a family fall festival. So we had a whole bunch of pumpkins, and we had a bunch of kids that painted them. We were at Miller, at one of the parks there. It's a beautiful afternoon. We heard the Murga was there too. So it was just a really good chance to get together and connect with some people. We were right next to a playground. So we had some people that them and their kids were just out playing that came over and painted pumpkins too. Very practically, I promised my kids today we'd go to pumpkin patch and get pumpkins for them. And we got them there. So it was perfect. Saved me money also, which is a super benefit of Austin Anthem. So yeah, we painted a swamp monster pumpkin. And sort of a random collection of emojis pumpkin. That's what my kids do, which is fine. But it was good to have get people together and just like play and have families. And there was a lot of soccer going on. And thank God for Christine Hanley, because she just stood in a net and let all of us kick balls at her. She was very good at keeping them out. But it's the kind of thing we want to do more of, because we want to be here for all of Austin. And so a lot of it's going to be watching games and drinking beer in bars, but sometimes it's going to be at a park and like having our kids and just having a good, like good family fun time there.
So we've got quite a few more events coming up in the near future. So I guess the first one is going to be our first meeting for the UT chapter of Austin Anthem. So that's going to be at Space 2420, which is just right there beside campus on the drag. That's October 23rd at 6 p.m. Can you tell us a little bit of what to expect at that, Jeremiah?
So, yeah, we're going to have, I assume that's 2420 Guadalupe, thus, you know, based upon the name. But it's our chance to connect with the UT community in a deeper way, because we have supported UT women's soccer a lot, and hopefully all of you got your that ordered it when them got your, you know, combination Aus Anthem UT soccer scarves.
Yeah, mine came in the mail the other day, and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful and it's light, because so many of my scarves are clearly winter scarves, which we never have here in Austin.
Yeah.
And that's a scarf. That's an October 24th summer, which is what we're having right now, scarf. So we appreciate that. So, yeah, that game, not that game, but we'll get together that evening at the bar, and I believe we're going to have sort of a burnt orange and white Grackle shirt available. And it's just a chance to connect sort of Austin FC and the University of Texas, and then people will be able to get a sneak peek of what we have in store for the Anthem Day at UT Women's Soccer, which is also next weekend.
Yeah, so we've got two big events coming up next weekend on October 26th, which is Saturday. The Viva La Vida Parade, which is a Day of the Dead parade, is going to be happening. So Anthem is going to be marching with that, with the Murga leading the charge. So if any of you want to join us in that, the registration is free. Just we have links for you to sign up. So look at our social media accounts, and we can put a link in the show notes as well. But it should be a lot of fun. We marched in the Pride Parade not long ago, and that was a blast. So this is going to be a shorter parade and earlier in the day. So hopefully we can get an even bigger group of people to come out. But we're looking to show up big for that. So come out and join us. It should be a ton of fun. The next day will be the final home game for UT Women's Soccer. And so we're having another official Austin Anthem Day. So we're going to be doing a tailgate beforehand, kind of on the northwest corner of the stadium. So we'll be out there before the game. The game starts at 1 p.m., so we'll be hanging out beforehand, and then we'll march in and play some music and sing some songs and chant, and hopefully see a UT women win.
Guys, because on both of those, I think the fact that they're early in the day and that you can bring your family or at whatever. We did not go to the Pride March, but it was like it's sort of a function of schedule and timing. So we have two small boys, and small boys do not do well at events from 8 to midnight. So we'll be there like it's from 12 to 1. It's a short march on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's just a good chance. Like the UT women's soccer team, one, they're doing really well. I think they're now second in the Big 12. So there's an opportunity that this game will mean a lot for how they're going to turn out in the conference, and also it's just a great opportunity to get people together, get families together, really enjoy your soccer. If you weren't one of the people that bought a scarf and season ticket package, like the tickets are super cheap, it's super easy, it's very laid back, it's a really good chance to like get together and really have fun around soccer.
Yeah, and we're really kind of, it's an opportunity for us to hone our skills as far as what the process of a game day is going to look like. And so meeting up beforehand, marching in with the instruments, and how we run our sets of music and how we choose songs for certain points in the game. And so it's been really great for us as a band as well. Jeremiah, do you just want to run us through the last few points here?
Yes, we've got a couple of events upcoming that are sort of TBD. So because of the change in the MLS Cup, the MLS playoff schedule, the Cup is way early this year. So the final will be on November 10th. It's at 2 p.m. where we will have an event, and we're sort of working out what that looks like. We're right in the middle of that for the first time. So instead of having the home and away like two-legged ties that you traditionally see, it's one match and done there. So we will get to the end of this very soon. But on November 10th in the afternoon, we're going to have a finals watch party. Because that is so early, we've traditionally combined the final with a holiday party and a toy drive. So instead of doing both those at once, we're going to do the final on November 10th. And then at some point in December, we'll have like a big group holiday party too. So those are our events that we have for the rest of this year. And then next year, you know, we'll have a lot of things because we're coming up on having a soccer team.
Yeah. And so we also want to give a shout out to Zanate Musical Collective, which is the Murga. If you know people who play instruments, you want to play instruments, even if you just like to sing and yell, we need people to do that with us too. So come out to these soccer games, come out to the events we have going forward, and join us in that.
And if you're a city council member that plays an instrument that you want to join in on and may have been on this show, we would invite you back. Or if you're a city council member who hasn't been on this show, that's a secret talent that we don't know about, we would also love you to play with the Moorga.
We also want to plug our Discord channel. So this is a world that I am unfamiliar with, but right now we've been inviting people who are into gaming to join this Discord channel. So they're going to be arranging FIFA tournaments. I think they're already starting to do some of that now. And there will also be exclusive access for paid Anthem members that are announced within these channels.
Right. So we're looking for early access to information. And Tom talked about the esports team. I guess the one person we have. This is something. We're out of our element, clearly. But we're also having an Anthem Discord thing, which reminded me. You told me a story about the New York City FC. Their esports, their person.
Oh, like, yeah. Tell me about that. Talking to the Cooligans, they have a pretty good relationship with the Red Bulls esports representative.
Or, clearly, I was paying attention. Red Bulls also, not NYCFC. But
well,
yeah.
they're NYCFC fans, and so they have a relationship with both of those guys. But the Red Bulls guy is apparently a character and just all over media. But to make a point about how big EMLS and esports is, he reached out to the Cooligans asking about like apartment prices and stuff like that, and they're like, oh, you can, yeah, this neighborhood in Brooklyn is nice and it's pretty affordable, what's your range as far as apartments go? And he gave them the range, and like, oh, that you make that much playing video games, that's amazing. So
if you want to live in the Midtown Manhattan version of Austin, apparently you should win the esports tournament that the team's putting on, and it's just like cash and money.
All right. So do you want to talk about 2020 memberships before we sign off?
Yeah. So we're almost out of 2019. So for those of you that have bought membership kits, you get a scarf and stickers and a pen and a magnet. So next year we're going to retire the scarf and we're going to come up with something else. And by next year, I mean probably the next few weeks. So be on the outlook for that, for the 2020 membership kit for Austin Anthem. So you can learn about that on austinanthem.org, on our Facebook page, by following Austin Anthem on Twitter or Instagram, which our Instagram just crossed 10,000 members, which is very important to some people. I don't know what that means, but we're happy to have that. And so just please keep following us in all those ways. Keep asking us questions on Reddit. One of the things that we pay a lot of attention to is the Austin Anthem Supporters Social Facebook group, which is pretty active, but the more the better as we continue to build to 2021.
Yeah. So, before we sign off, I want to give a big thanks to Tom Webb and Jimmy Flanagan for joining us, and also to Austin FC for opening their offices to us. But yeah, we'll be back with another episode here in the next few weeks. But until then, enjoy your soccer. Okay, it's rolling.
I'm Tom Webb. I do PR for Austin Anthem. No, I don't.
You heard it here first, folks.
I don't get paid for doing that.